Welcome to the Value Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Sangenario, founder of CVM. We're the advisory firm that pioneered the value growth knowledge base, process, and education. Join us as we dive into the true drivers for creating value in private companies. We're on a mission to educate our listeners with the goal of strengthening companies so they can operate at peak performance, be better prepared for growth, and achieve their future visions. If you're ready for an educational ride that could change your future, then strap in and let's go. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm here today with my longtime friend, colleague, and collaborator, John Lawler. This episode might be a little different than future episodes because today we're going to just kind of lay the groundwork of what value growth is all about. And in future episodes, we'll dig deeper into fundamentals of what the value growth framework is all about. And we'll have a lot of case studies. We'll have a lot of guests on who have been through this kind of process and have created a lot of value in their organizations. Today, we're going to lay the foundation. So John, welcome. Thanks for joining me today and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ken. Pleasure to be here. And as you said, I love collaborating with you and really excited to get this off the ground and help people understand what value growth is all about and how it can help them, make a difference. So,
exactly. So let's just start off with maybe a simple definition of value growth. So you and I have been doing this kind of work for 12, 14 years now together. And let's just start by letting people know what we mean when we say value growth.
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's always interesting to try and sum it down and keep it simple. But, you know, from our perspective, as we've, you know, thought this through and figured it out, it really is about enabling companies to grow in ways that reduce business risk and create additional value, right? And it's based on a framework for operating a company using fundamental best practices in all functional areas in a business. So in its simplest form, it just comes down to doing things really well in each functional area in a way that supports where you want to go and how you're doing business.
Right. That seems really simple and logical. Yeah. So how does a company actually do that?
Well, that's the fun part, really. It's, you know, if you think about it, it's about creating a mindset within a company that follows a pretty disciplined approach, right? What we do is we create and work with companies to set a clear understanding of where they are today and where they want to go in the future. So you have those first two points. And then it's about implementing and working on the business to build competency and capability in all your functional areas to support that growth. And as you do that, you just go back through the cycle again. And we revisit where they are, where they want to go, and what progress they've made in implementation. And then we say, okay, now that you've done that, we do it again. So it's this evolving journey that a company goes on. But it's ingrained as a way of doing business. Employees understand it, they get it, they can connect to it, and it really helps guide people within the company on what business they're really in and what really is important.
So when you say it starts by understanding where they are today and where they want to go in the future, that sounds really easy, but it's not quite that simple, is it, in its application?
Well, it's not, because I think one of the challenges companies have is being very introspective and honest with themselves as to where they are today, what really is their current state, and to be able to compare that to where they should be relative to their current state. A lot of the companies just don't have that reference point. So it really helps give them that starting point to say, okay, it's not good or bad. It just is. Here's where we are.
Yeah. Most companies have a lot of blind spots where that represent weaknesses and constraints to their ability to grow in a sustainable way. And those blind spots, they remain blind spots unless there's a process to sort of shine a light on them and then help them strengthen those weak areas.
Exactly. Let's go back to the fundamental definition, right? Those are the risk points in a business.
Right.
Right. I mean, as we've said before, and we have clearly experienced, is when companies trying to grow when they're not ready to grow, that's where those stress points show up and the failure rates increase. And right. So it's really, it really is about being really, truly honest with yourself as a company, saying, how good are we at this?
Right. Yeah. And then in terms of companies understanding where they want to go in the future, that's another another phrase that sounds simple, but we find that most companies really don't have a clear understanding or a clear vision at all about where they want to be in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we all, you know, I think everybody listening is going to know that the rate of change is just increasing so much, and it's forcing change upon us. It's not that we're necessarily anticipating, it's just happening to us. And this is a methodology and a way to help people think about what they want to create in the future versus having it happen to them. And it is hard because they've never done it before.
Right. Right?
I mean, success has been built on success. It's been built on success, but now we want to change the outcomes. We want to do it in a different way. And we'll talk about the benefits of that in a few minutes, but right, it really is about that mindset we refer to and changing the way that businesses think and saying, rather than just, you know, seeing a quick opportunity, it's about charting a course.
Exactly. Yeah. So they get a better understanding of their current state, where are their relative strengths and weaknesses today. They get a very clear and articulated vision of where they want the company to be in the future. And the future, they can define the future, how far out that is, but typically say 3 to 5 years, right, is what
sure,
we come to.
Sure. Right.
And then the process is to craft an implementation plan to go from where they are today to where they envision the company being in 3 to 5 years or so. And as you mentioned, then it's a rinse and repeat every year, but they're tracking progress along the way every week, every month, and so forth, right? And it just keeps them on a continuous improvement.
Exactly. It's a cadence, it's a discipline, it's a mindset, it's a way of doing business.
Yeah.
And you know, the way you articulated it, again, you used that word earlier, and it's like, that sounds pretty simple.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, when you think about it, you know, that old adage where you work in your business versus on your business, this is working on the business.
Yeah.
And it changes, in some cases, you know, business owners, the people that are running the business have to learn to run a business differently. It's a change for them.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned the word vision. Well, the vision is it's a picture for the future. And if it's done well, employees understand it and can contribute to it. Versus walking in and say, what are we doing today? Is it different than yesterday?
Yeah.
Where they actually, you know, they understand where the company's trying to go.
Yeah. So that's one of the great benefits of going through this process. But maybe let's cover a few of the other benefits, because there are
sure,
so many, but there are several like really big ones. So maybe you can touch on a few of those.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the ones that just pop right in my mind is that it's a change, really. I mean, it's when we think about decision making in many companies, it's in the control of a few people.
Right.
And this methodology allows it to be dispersed throughout the organization in a way that it's better at every level, right? And it's closer to the challenge with the people who understand the challenge, allowing them to make those decisions. So that's huge. Changing the decision-making process makes you more agile, quicker, and actually the decisions are better. The other thing it does as a result of that, or in connection with that, is it increases employee engagement. Right.
Yes.
We talk about, you hear that all the time today,
yes,
especially like employees want to know they're part of something bigger and better. They want to make a difference. And by allowing them to be part of the decision-making process and handling challenges at their level, the company's more efficient, employees are more engaged, and performance changes as a result.
Yeah.
You know?
And they have this decision-making filter system, sort of, at all levels of the company. So it allows employees to make better decisions without having to go to their boss for approval and so forth. And it allows them to develop faster over time and allows everybody, as you mentioned, to perform better. And they grow into being stronger, right, you know, stronger members of the whole team.
Well, and it goes back to, you know, you said the decision-making filter, that goes back to the mindset and the discipline and the way you do business, right? The more you do that, the more comfortable employees are saying, okay, let us run through this. Let's run through this. Check, 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 check.
Right.
Right. And as a result, it just, you know, to be repetitive, it's more engaging for employees. They feel like they're contributing more. They're making more decisions instead of being told what to do. And you're more efficient as an organization.
And then what does that do to the management team and the owner?
Yeah. Well, that's the cool part. Their roles change tremendously. I mean, if you think about moving an owner out of running the business and really, truly becoming the CEO, being that future-oriented leader that spends their time helping employees understand where we're going and why we're going there and how they connect, it's a whole different role. You don't have to be the problem solver all the time.
Yeah.
Same thing with management, right? Not all the problems come to you anymore. You have to be more adept at helping people prioritize, make sure they're following through on the discipline and thought process of the methodologies that you're using, right? That checklist you mentioned. And of course, they still have the role of making sure things get done, but it's done in a different way.
Right.
Right. And as a result, it's not so dependent on 1, 2, 3, or 4 people, right?
Especially the owner.
Especially the owner, right? It creates owner independence.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we talked about risk and value. It triggers both of those.
Yeah.
The risk of being so dependent on an owner, if something were to happen to the owner, or if they eventually went to sell their business, if they're such a big part of it, there's a risk for the buyer.
Right.
In taking on that business. So.
Yeah, so this process creates a lot more future options for the owner in terms of their eventual exit from the business or transfer of ownership. So it opens up their options. And that may be, you know, maybe they don't want to transfer ownership for another 20 years, but that's still okay because there will be opportunities that arise in the interim, and they'll be prepared to sort of entertain or consider any opportunities that come their way.
Yeah. How many times have we encountered a business owner who is just, for lack of a better term, tired?
Yeah.
And they've been working really hard and they feel like they're on a, you know, one of those, what do they call it? The rat race on the wheel.
The treadmill, yeah.
The treadmill. And then going through this and starting to change the way they run their company and engaging with employees, and now all of a sudden they have a new life.
Yeah.
They look at this and say, this is so different. This is much easier. It's less stressful. I'm really enjoying it again.
Yeah. I wanted to sell. Now I don't anymore.
Yeah. Well, to your point you made earlier, now I have options. We'll see. You know, it's not that they want to sell because they're tired of it. Now they say, we'll see how I transfer this business in the future.
Yeah. One of the other benefits too that we see in almost every case is the nature of the company's growth, the revenue growth and the profitability growth. It becomes revenue and profitability become outputs of this kind of system process rather than being direct drivers, which most companies treat revenue and profitability as direct drivers, don't they?
They do.
As inputs. Yeah. If we keep pressing on the revenue as hard as we can, grow revenue and put the revenue into the organization, then the organization will be able to deliver and will create value that way. But in fact, that's not how it happens in many companies. They keep trying to grow revenue, basically chase revenue in a lot of cases. And that puts a lot of pressure on the organization because the organization isn't prepared for that revenue growth that maybe the owner or the sales team is driving.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know, you're increasing the risk. If you're driving that growth in a way that you're not necessarily good at it, or you're not ready for it, guess what happens? The warning bells start to go off, right? I think the other thing that's really interesting about that point is that when you speak revenue and profitability to employees, they can't connect to that.
Yeah.
Because that's not how they behave. They behave right. Doing what you do as a business. That's what they want to know.
Right.
So talk to me more about my job and how I connect and versus yeah. What do you mean we didn't make profit? What does that have to do with me? And how do I, that's not very engaging.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. If the culture is always about these two metrics, well, that, you know, what's the purpose? Just about profit and revenue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they end up, the companies end up generating new growth in revenue and profitability that actually creates value when, because it's the right kind of revenue and profit.
The right kind of, yes.
When in most cases, without, when companies haven't gone through this kind of a process and don't have this mindset, they're generating revenue and profitability that may not only not create value, it may actually erode value because, as you mentioned, it increases the risk level of the business because the business isn't ready for it.
Yeah, it's not ready for it. One of the words we haven't mentioned yet, you know, in the few minutes we've been talking is that alignment piece. And a lot of what we talk about as far as the mindset is mm-hmm. being very clear on who the right customers or clients are and the value you deliver to them and making sure the company understands that and pursuing that type of growth. And it really does, you know, it starts to line everything up. You know, we talk about, you know, there's the concept of lean out there and, you know, in its fundamentals, lean is about only doing things of value to a customer. Okay, so let's make sure we're aligned on who the customer is and what they value and let's do those things.
Yeah.
And stop doing the things that don't matter.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? A lot of our conversations as we go through this is to say, okay, so what are you going to stop doing?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because they can't, you know.
Yeah. We often, when we come back for updates with clients, one of the most common comments we hear from management teams is, I can't believe the things that we used to do that we no longer do. And I can't believe that we went so many years without doing the things that we're now doing. It's
right.
Totally changing
right.
The way they run their day-to-day business.
Yeah.
John,
yeah.
This is, you and I could keep talking about this
we
all
can.
Day. And I really want to sort of dive deeper into what some of the fundamental principles are of the value growth framework. But I think we're going to have to save that for another episode. And I hope that you'll be willing to join me again for sort of part two of this episode.
I'd love to, Ken. And you know, I think having some other experts in that can help us articulate what it really means to be or how to operate in those fundamental areas in a way that is considered to be, you know, peak performance.
Yeah.
And giving us some insight into those because, you know, it really does make a difference.
Absolutely. It's a labor of love for us. And this has been a lot of fun talking about it. And so stay tuned for the part two of this episode, and we'll dive into some of the principles of value growth. So until next time, make it a great day.
Thanks again, Ken.
Thanks for listening to the Value Growth Podcast. If you have a value growth story to tell or a case study to share and would like to be a guest on the show, simply click the link below to our podcast homepage or go to podcast.corporatevalue.net/podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please tell the world on social media and rate us wherever you're accessing podcasts. If you didn't like what you heard today, don't tell anybody. Just kidding. You can tell us. We welcome your feedback so we can continuously improve the show, which, by the way, is one of the principles of value growth. Our mission for this podcast is to educate our listeners with the goal of strengthening companies so they can operate at peak performance, be better prepared for growth, and achieve their future visions. We invite you to follow the links below to subscribe to the podcast, connect with us on social media, or visit our website to learn more about us at CVM and how we enhance the values of middle market companies. Once again, I'm Ken San Gennario. Thanks for listening, and see you next time on the Value Growth Podcast.